around here who hasn't had at least one person working for the college.
Oh, well, when, yeah, it used to be if you worked at all, you worked for the college. And wasn't anywhere else to work for. Yeah, and then this, of course, this whole town just built up for the college. There's at least this part over here. That part over there originally started as a town, but practically everybody over there worked at the college. Mr. Bennett worked in the agriculture department. I worked in the same department with him there a while. And your aunt Ethel Elmore, I don't know whether you ever knew her or not. Her husband worked in the treasurer's office. He had number two man treasurer's office, I think.
Who did he work for?
The treasurer was Mr. Ibbett, Mr. Sam Ibbett. Yeah, everybody over there, and that family down there that I told you about, the Dillard, mm-hmm. lived across the street from Lala's house. He worked at the college. I don't know just where he worked.
Well, one of the Dillard family now has the laundry named for him.
That was a house that was on Railroad Street, I believe they call it. Yeah, that's Mr. Frank Dillard. Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Frank Dillard.
You said you weren't involved much in social activities.
Yes.
What about civic groups?
Well, when I was growing up, they didn't have any civic organizations. They didn't have all these they got now. They got the Rotary and the Lions and the Kiwanis and the Sertoma and all. They didn't have those there then. The college had an organization called the Fellowship Club, and I was invited and joined that a long time ago. It's kind of, they meet for supper and have a speaker. And then the churches took care of social life, too.
What kind of social activities did the churches have?
Well, they'd, most if you wanted to, well, they had supper there once in a while, and there was a time when Lyle and I played bridge with four or five different couples, but neither one of us cared too much about playing bridge.
Were any of the churches better known for social activities than the others?
Not that I know of. No, they all had some, except that Episcopal church. Now, they built a parish house to have dances. None of the other churches ever built a place to have dances.
Was there much
picnics and things like that?
Was there much religious competition among the churches?
No, not competition, cooperation. When I was growing up as a kid and as a young man, why, during the summer, they'd have a very small summer school. And so the churches wouldn't be full of people. And so they'd have what they call union services. They had them in the Methodist church. At that time, they had the biggest auditorium. And one of the churches would preach three Sundays, and another preacher would preach three Sundays, and another one three Sundays. They just had the Episcopal and the Methodist side by side, and the Presbyterian and the Baptist side by side. That's the only churches they had here when I was growing up. And they'd take time about, and I enjoyed hearing the different preachers.
Well, that was exceptionally cooperative.
Yeah, yeah. It was hot, no air conditioning, they hadn't developed air conditioning, so each church bought two fans and put fans up on the wall, and each of the churches bought fans to put up there.
So these electric fans at the Methodist church were jointly bought by all
yeah,
the churches in town.
That's right.
I never knew that.
I don't know whether they took them down or not, or not?
Well, they probably were burned up when the church
burned. Oh, yeah, I guess that's right.
Well,
yeah.
People also had hand fans in the
pew
racks.
Yeah, that's right, from the funeral house. Yeah.
Duckett Funeral Home.
Yeah, that's right.
What about other groups? Were you a part of the Masons?
Yeah. No, your uncle, Charlie Bennett, raised me in the Masons.
When did you join the Masons?
Oh, it was after the Second World War. I don't remember when.
What types of social or civic or public services did the Masons provide?
I don't know. I don't go as often as I should.
I know they're supposed to be a secret society of sorts,
well,
but not quite yet.
No, I don't really know, to tell you the truth. They do sponsor the boys and girls that go to state camp or whatever they call that. But I don't know that. I don't know what else to do, to tell you the truth.
Well, much of the time we've been talking off and on about the Keller Store.
Yeah.
Let's return to that and conclude in a few minutes.
Yeah, okay.
First of all, something that may not have been a part of Keller Store, but that was important in the area, was what was used to be called pressing clubs.
Yeah.
Tell me what that was.
Well, that, before they had dry cleaners, people would clean their clothes. At that time they were wool. I don't think they had worked with the cotton and thing, but they would clean them somehow. I don't know. Now, that's what my father did that, too. And brush them off, and they might have had some sort of cleaning fluid to use. I don't know. And then hang them up to air, and then press them with a iron press.
So this wasn't just pressing, as the name suggests, but a whole
cleaning
process.
Pressing. Well, if they were dirty, you shouldn't press the dirt in the cloth. That would that'd be bad. So they had to clean them somehow, right?
Did they have any particular irons to use rather than just regular?
Well, at first, back in your father did that before 1900. About that, at least at that time, early 1900, I think they had just iron that you'd heat on the stove. In fact, they made some stoves that had places there to sit down on to heat it.
But they must have also had some special pressing cloths, because a hot iron will mess up wool pretty bad.
Yeah, that's right. I use pressing cloths now with electric, and then, of course, now by 1918 we had electricity, and my father had an iron that ran on the direct current, which is what the college first had. And then when they got alternating current, well, you had to get a new iron.
Why were they called clubs?
I never heard that. They were. I don't know whether whether you had to join the club to get your pants pressed or not, I don't know. But not everybody had their clothes cleaned and pressed.
What'd the rest of the people do?
Well, I don't know. Most farmers just had a suit they wore on Sunday, and it wouldn't need pressing very often. Just wear it to church when they went to church.
And the rest of the time they'd wear overalls.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Let me ask you one more thing in this connection about the cadet uniforms.
Yeah.
Were all of the uniforms wool?
Yeah, for a long time. The shirt and the pants, too.
They would start wearing those wool uniforms
September,
in...
Oh, it was awful hot. And that's another thing about the golden picture show in the YMCA. Those thick wool shirts, you get out there and drill in September, and they get wet or sweat, and you go in the picture show, and the odor would stifle you. Closed up, see, it had to be closed up. They didn't have air conditioning to circulate the air. Yeah, when I was a kid, in hot weather, it didn't smell good.
Returning, not quite, but in the direction to the store, when you were a kid, would there have been any type of street lights along College Avenue?
Uh-uh.
So it would have been completely dark at night?
Yeah.
Just the star or the moon?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Night watchman?
They got a night watchman, I guess about the time I was in college, yeah. About the time long in the late 20s or early 30s. They got one man to be a night watchman, but he slept most of the night, they said.
Did you want to tell us who he was?
No. No, I won't say.
When did Clemson first get a police force?
Well, see, the college had had night watchmen up there.
On the college premises?
Yeah, they called them night watchmen. They had to watch the building. And then they got Mr. Roar, who had been the sheriff up in Pickens County for 16 years. They hired him to be their policeman.
And
in the college, not the city. The city, but he had, I think he was a state constable. So, and he had authority for a number of miles from the main building at the college. So he had jurisdiction over the town. Then the town hired, after he retired from the college, the town hired him to be their policeman. So for, I don't remember when that was. I think that was after the Second World War.
So fairly late.
Yeah, fairly late, and he was the only one. Then after he retired, I believe they got Mr. Cochran policeman for a while. Then they got a young man named Walters. And I don't know, then when they thought that the town got bigger, you know, now they got a big police force, right?
Okay, well, finally, let's go back in Judge Keller's store. Mm-hmm. And there are a number of things hanging up on your wall in the back of the store.
Yeah.
One of them is a portrait of your parents.
Yeah.
And are you in that one, I think?
Yeah, I'm a little baby in that one, yeah.
Then there's another one of you and your wife and your little baby.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And several other family photos.
Yeah.
And there's also a certificate to your father. Tell us about that.
Well, that, he sold what they call made-to-measure suits. He'd take the order, take the measurement, and order suits for people. Primarily the professors, long ago. And he did that for a place called the Royal Tailors of Chicago. And he sold and took measures for a lot of suits, and enough of them fit correctly, they gave him a certificate, and that's what that is. He hung it up there.
A very fine special citation. Where do you get your name Bryan?
From William Jennings Bryan. My father thought he was the politician that ran for president three times. And
father
got the nomination, but he didn't get elected. Yeah, my father thought he was a wonderful man, so when I was born, he named me William Brown.
Even though that was about 15 years later.
Yeah.
And you have Brian's portrait in the store.
Yeah, my father had got that, and it's been in the store ever since I can remember. I don't know when or where he got that.
And what else do you have hanging up in the store?
Got Napoleon's picture.
Why Napoleon?
Well, our people settled down in Abbeville, which was settled by the French. I don't know whether you know, tell us a German name, they said, but I don't know whether any of our people were French or not, but my people settled there real early. And my father may have thought we were came with the French or not. I guess. He never did say why he had to pull his picture.
And finally, you have a couple of your World War II.
Yeah, that's the battalion and the company I was in.
I'm sure a lot of Clemson men must have been in the war.
Yeah, your father was. Yeah, a lot of Clemson men.
How do you think Clemson has changed over the 80-some-odd years that the Keller family has been involved with it?
Well, it certainly has gotten bigger. It's bigger and more famous now than ever.
Would your father have ever believed there would be women students at the college?
Well, I don't know what he would have thought there would ever be, but he wouldn't have been surprised, and he wouldn't have been disappointed. Some of the old grads, they never did like it, but I don't think my father would have cared. When I was still running the store and they had a lot of girls going to college, I told one of the boy students, I thought the girl students bought more from us than the boy students. And he told me, well, of course they do. They have more money than we do. Daddies will give them more money than they will us boys.
So the arrival of women at Clemson was a bonus for the Keller family.
Yeah.
And with your son Leonard now running the store, we can expect many more years of the Kellers around Clemson.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, thank you, Brian. This has been very enjoyable and very informative.
Yeah.